You're listening to the best of Mornings on the Mall.
All right. Joining us now, Sergeant Eric Powell, who's of the Animal Protection Police with the Fairfax County Police Department. Sergeant, nice to have you this morning on Mornings on the Mall.
Well, thank you for having me, sir.
We want to talk about something that's caught the community's attention, which is that some parks in Fairfax County, your team is clearing out an abundance of deer using AR-15s. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's correct. We've been doing sharpshooting in Fairfax County now for 20 years. And over the past 4 years, we've actually implemented the AR-15 platform to assist us with this program.
Okay, so why is the AR-15 an effective rifle for this?
Basically, what we use is a specially modified AR-15 for this purpose. They're more accurate than a normal AR-15. The ammunition that we use is designed to fragment on impact, which significantly reduces the likelihood of any ricochets or pass-throughs. We implemented this the AR-15 platform after we consulted with wildlife professionals who specialize in sharpshooting to address the safety and animal welfare concerns that we were getting from the community 4 years ago. Our current protocol, for shot placement, was delivered to align with the standards of the humane euthanasia by the American Veterinary Medical Association.
Okay. Does this also serve the purpose of assisting your sharpshooters in sort of, training as well, using deer calling as an opportunity for that?
They do. I mean, all of our, the best safety aspect we have for this program is our shooters. They're all senior members of the Fairfax County Police Department and our firearms training unit. They've all successfully passed the county's SWAT sniper school. And our two lead sharpshooters actually attended a course called Shooting in Sensitive Areas, which is specifically for shooting in this type of environment for deer management. And they in turn have trained our additional shooters.
I'd like to play some audio for you. This is a resident of Alexandria, Nancy Schenig, who spoke to News 4 about her concerns about the police shooting at these deer near homes. Listen to this.
Okay.
Even though the police say that they shoot down and it's supposed to be safe, we just feel that you can't ever rule out weapons malfunction or human error.
What's your response to that?
Well, I mean, our program adheres to a strict safety protocol. And again, it's conducted by trained law enforcement officers who have the resume that I mentioned earlier. We use, that specialize in training in urban deer management sharpshooting operations. The safety protocols that we have in place, we shoot from an elevated tree stand. All of our shots are taken, less than 50 yards in open. Prior to taking these shots, the shooters utilize devices to make sure that the area is totally.
Sir, you broke up just a little bit there. You said prior to taking those shots, you utilize what?
We utilize a handheld thermal imaging device, and they ensure that the area is clear of any type of human beings or dogs or smaller animals. And then on the weapons itself, they have a specialized thermal imaging scope that they identify their target and then take the shot when it's safe to do so. All of this is done, even though we are in proximity to residential areas, a lot of the parks that we do this in are small. We ensure that the stand placements and the shots that we're taking have, 200 to 300 yards of heavy wooded areas or embankments, or we use the natural environment around us to make sure that these safe shots are safe.
Has anyone ever been harmed in this process over the years you've been doing it?
No, this program has an excellent safety record. There's been no injuries or safety incidents with park patrons, neighbors, or their pets.
So why suddenly are people concerned about this?
Honestly, I think it's because AR-15 is the current buzzword in the state of the world today. But what people don't understand is we've been jurisdictions, not just our own, but other jurisdictions in the surrounding area, they've been using rifles to cull deer for up to 20 years now.
Is the AR-15 the most effective weapon? If you had a dream weapon for doing this, what is it?
For what we do, I think the AR-15 is the best weapon. It's not the only weapon that we use.
Right.
We've also utilized a bolt action sniper rifle with the 308.
Yes.
But for the areas that we do it in, the smaller parks, I think the AR-15 is the best weapon to use because it's more accurate, it's more safe.
Yes.
And then coupled with the ammunition that we use, just makes us a very safe program.
Well, can I ask you, I want to ask you about that ammunition. I know in some states they actually ban AR-15s for use in deer hunting because the .223 is not strong enough in terms of stopping power. In some cases, the deer can actually run off and be injured, and that's obviously not humane. What kind of caliber are you using?
We're using a .223, a VMAX 55-grain Hornaday bullet, which is intended to fragment on impact. And where we take our shots, and which is typically a headshot, basically, you know, euthanizes the animal immediately, which again follows us in the guidelines of the American Veterinary Medical Association.
Yep, that'll do it. That's for sure. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Sergeant Eric Powell of the Animal Protection Police with the Fairfax County Police Department giving us some clarity on that program this morning. Appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, sir. Y'all have a great day.
You too.
You're listening to the best of Mornings on the Mall. You're listening to the best of Mornings on the Mall.
All right, if you ever drive past the National Mall, you've gone down maybe 14th Street, you look out the window and you see a bunch of young Washingtonians playing kickball, softball, maybe not so young, maybe some older Washingtonians out there joining the fun during the summer. And those fields, great fields for recreation, kind of, especially if you can get a little kickball game going and people having a good time, a great way to spend a day in Washington, D.C., maybe coming to an end. The Park Service said last week that it wants to permanently close the grounds of the Washington Monument to recreational activities and increase reservation fees for use of its 28 athletic fields on the mall and in Rock Creek Park. The monument grounds were closed earlier this year for turf restoration, and now the Park Service wants that closure to continue indefinitely for having athletics on the field. And I wonder, is this something that you agree with? Now, the argument the Park Service is making is that, man, these people are just turfing up the fields, that this green space is getting wrecked by people playing softball, kickball, soccer, running around in cleats, you know, whatever, messing up the grass, and we have to re-turf it, and it's just not good for the National Mall. And so as a result, we're considering banning it. What do you think? Is being able to use a park for, I don't know, recreation a good idea in Washington, D.C.? 888-630-9625, 888-630-WMAL. By the way, we'll be able to ask this question again this morning, because we're talking about it today. We'll talk it with Brian McNichol, who's a softball coach at 805, who's one of the guys who uses these fields. I've used these fields in the past to play softball, and it is a blast. It's one of the most, like, first of all, it's memorable, and it's a great Washington experience to play in sort of the shadow of the Washington Monument, to be out there playing softball, running around with your friends, running around with your coworkers, competing against other media organizations or think tanks or lobbying shops. You basically get your company together, your company softball team, and you go out there and you join a league, and then there's people who schedule it. You arrange to reserve the field, then you go out and you use it, and you play against each other. It's a blast. And I think there's a lot of people in Washington who don't want to see it end. In fact, there's a petition started by a guy named Robert Kinsler, who's a softball coach himself. And it's on change.org. Don't ban sports and recreation on the National Mall. As of this very moment, and I've been watching it tick up this morning, 6,700 people have already signed this petition. Don't ban sports on the National Mall. Should we? What do you think? 888-630-9625. 888-630-WMAL.
You're right. It's a very DC thing to do. And I think it's kind of cool. I think it's really cool. I do get, though, that it rips up the turf and it rips up the grass. And so it maybe doesn't look as nice. So I get that. Maybe the answer is to create actual fields, like actual playing fields.
Well, there are
actual baseball, actual kickball.
There are some fields, but those get so full up. I mean, there are baseball fields that the Park Service is responsible for. Those all get filled. So what's left for anybody else who wants to play softball? It's the other green space. These are parks. So what should our parks be used for? I don't know. Recreation seems like it's at the top of that list. The ability for people to go run around in the grass on our national parks seems like, you know, one of the top most priorities for why we have them in the first place. So, you know, get out there and have some fun. All right, taking some of your calls this morning on this.
How cool is it to be playing softball in, you know, by the Washington Monument?
Yeah.
So uniquely D.C.
I worry that we won't be able to pass that on if the National Park Service takes all the fun away. Let's go to Dick and Alexandria up next here. Dick, good morning.
Good morning. Vince, I think you said it all. I mean, you utilized it and you've enjoyed it. Many others have enjoyed it. I've never used that facility, but it is a park. It's a park. You don't want to play. Nobody's asking to play in Arlington Cemetery. It's a wonderful idea to continue that. Maybe, I'm a man of compromise. Maybe just say sneakers. Yeah, when you said rubber cleats, that tears it up too. No cleats, rubber, metal, just sneakers. Keep the facility going. It's a great camaraderie of businesses and people working in Washington. Don't end that.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Dick. Yeah, the reason I'm for the rubber cleats, actually less injury. When you pivot turning those bases and you're wearing sneakers, you can slip out sometimes, and it's way better to wear cleats, believe me. Let's go to Joe in Gilbert's Corner this morning. Joe, good morning. You're up next.
Hey, good morning, guys. So I'd say, first of all, maybe a happy medium is you have Bandit on the grass, but build a couple more ball fields. You know, maybe a compromise. Who knows? That could work. But my main comment here is they're so worried about the ground.
Yes.
That I don't remember the Park Service banning concerts after all those environmentalist lefties trashed the ground. I saw it the day after. They trashed that place after one of their stupid concerts.
Yeah, remember Occupy destroying McPherson Square? Destroying it. It took many months to get it back to shape. Yeah, let's go to Mark, who's in D.C., calling in this morning on Mornings of the Mall. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, guys. You know, being a young person in D.C., that's one of the things that, you know, gets us through the day is being able to look forward to playing, you know, sport out on the mall after work. Back where I'm from at my high school, we had the same issue where the stadium grass was just getting ripped up, and we actually ended up putting in actual turf to, you know, not have – you know, the poor-looking grass. I mean, I think they could definitely set up a few areas with some turf for, you know, events like that.
Yeah, I guess that comes down to, is that a sensible cost equation? If they put turf, say, on the actual baseball fields that they have, would that be worth the money, and would they see a return on investment from it? Somehow, whatever they do, I have a suspicion that they're going to end up with the costlier option, because that's how government works.
Well, this is Washington.
Yeah. I mean, look, they could definitely be spending the money in better places, but knowing the government, they'll probably put in, a turf stadium.
Yeah.
You know, just because they had the blank check.
Good point. Well, this is thank you, Mark, and good luck with your softball seasons. I hope you actually have one next year. It's funny. I find myself agreeing, which is a rare thing, with Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton from D.C.
Wow.
Saying, quote, "The mall is not a turf sanctuary. It's a public park designed to host a variety of diverse, high-traffic events." So I'm with you, Delegate.
This is the best of Mornings on the Mall.
Now, we're talking with Brian McNichol. Brian, you've coached through the years a bunch of softball teams, including some championship ones. Congratulations.
Right.
When it comes to these fields, I mean, how important is it to the Washington, D.C. experience to be able to play softball, you know, under the shadow of the monument?
It is, and I have to tell you, some of the most treasured pictures I have is like our team playing with the Capitol in the background, our team playing with the Washington Monument in the background, with the White House, you know, and it connects people to each other and to the Washington experience, you know. So we sort of learn, it's sort of a leavening process. It's a way that we can get together and see each other as, you know, not ideological enemies, but fellow people now, trying to get it right.
One of the problems with people who use the National Mall for almost any activity, many groups and organizations tend to leave trash behind. They kind of make the area worse than it was when they got there. In your experience, do the softball guys clean up?
Yes. We always have like infrastructure for cleanup. So, if we bring drinks, we bring bags to put the empties in. We always leave it clean. I think that goes for virtually every softball team.
Is it just softball that's being played, or are there other sports that are also being played that maybe are harder on the turf than softball?
Down on the beyond the monument, you see a lot of cricket and football, kind of flag football, kickball, things like that.
Did you say cricket?
Vince and I are looking at each other cricket?
I've seen kickball and soccer. I didn't realize there was cricket being played. Okay, well, maybe we should ban some of this. Cricket? What do we do with cricket on the National Mall? Okay. So, yeah, there's a lot of different sports being played there. And, yeah, I mean, look, it's grass. When people run around on it, it can be tough on the grass. Right. But the Park Service arguing, look, we just don't have the money for all this upkeep on this turf. But, hell or high water, I'm kind of with you, Brian. I think it's the intent here should be, let's maintain this. This is, for many residents of Washington, D.C., this is a treasured pastime, being able to play sports in the nation's capital in the shadow of some of the greatest buildings we have.
Right. In a bringing together activity, if there ever was one.
Right on. I'm with you here, Brian.
And a very uniquely D.C. thing to do.
All right, Brian McNichol with the world-famous Accuracy in Media and, more importantly, a championship-winning softball coach. We really appreciate you joining us this morning.
All right, thank you.
You're listening to the best of Mornings on the Mall, 5 to 9, Monday through Friday, only on 105.9 FM, WMAL. Now, more of the best of Mornings on the Mall.
All right, so we're talking about Gene Simmons, and you can only control a rock star for so long. You can only get him to button up for just so long. Fox News and the Fox Business Network have had him on a bunch of times as a guest because he's been pretty good so far. It's cool. Gets the front man for Kiss in there. He's kind of hanging out with you, talking politics. And things have been going fine until Wednesday, apparently.
Until they're not.
So this is according to a Daily Beast write-up. The Lloyd Grove has this. Trouble started Wednesday morning after the Israeli-born Simmons, who dresses like a preening teenager at the age of 68, he says, appeared on Fox and Friends and Maria Bartiromo's Fox Business Network show, Mornings with Maria, to promote his new book, On Power. Things were going well enough when Simmons jumped up from the Fox and Friends couch to help meteorologist Janice Dean do her weather report. In fact, we have a little bit of audio. Gene on Wednesday with Janice Dean, and she seemed very excited to have him helping out with the weather.
Would you like to do precipitation?
Oh my gosh! Gene Simmons doing weather! Come over here,
Janice.
The lighting
Janice.
Is better here. Yes,
Janice.
Yes.
Gene is now the weather machine.
We are maximizing Gene Simmons' potential with the weather maps. Let's take a look at it. Show me. Give me some temperatures.
Well, if you're in Provo, of course. Why aren't you? It's 32 degrees Fahrenheit as opposed to Celsius. Now, Albuquerque, which is difficult to spell, but I know that because I used to be a sixth grade teacher, is now at 43 degrees. But you notice in Kansas City, it depends on whether or not you're in the state nearby or not, because Kansas City spreads two different states.
Missouri.
Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas City, Kansas. You're correct, Ducey, yet again. That's why you're on Fox News. You deserve a raise. 58 degrees. 45 degrees, however, in Chicago. And this, depending on the hawk, which is the winds that come out of the north, can make it much colder, much faster. And the moisture, forget about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Gene Simmons.
So they were very happy that Gene Simmons. So everything was going great. Then he goes over to Bartiromo's panel with Fox Business, and who asked about views on Harvey Weinstein. And he said the following.
What do you make of all of these allegations against Harvey Weinstein? And tell us.
Well, it didn't.
Pull the curtain back for us.
That the lunatics have taken over the insane asylum when respected business news entities like yourself ask guys that look like me that stick their tongues out and on money bag logos, what I think about Harvey Weinstein. Okay, but, you know, truthfully
speaking... No, seriously, come on.
But I am. I'm a powerful and attractive man, and what I'm about to say is deadly serious. Men are jackasses. And from the time we're young, we have testosterone. I'm not validating it or defending it. Guys need to be trained from their very, very young ages by their mothers and by their loved ones to understand that half the world's population are female and they need to be treated with respect.
Yeah,
we don't get the training, and that's not a defense. Harvey and Cosby and anybody who may have allegedly done any of those things should go down all the way to hell so they can become somebody's girlfriend. I'm just kidding. It's just a joke.
Okay, I'm a powerful and attractive man. Minutes later, Simmons was apparently walking past the 14th floor of Fox News Channel in New York City. And he busts into a staff meeting uninvited. This is, again, according to the Daily Beast. And he yells the following, "Hey, chicks, sue me," he shouts, and then pulls open his red velvet shirt to reveal his chest and belly, according to the source. Then he started telling Michael Jackson pedophilia jokes, and then he bopped two employees on the head with his book, making derisive comments about their comparative intelligence according to the sound their heads made when struck.
Wow.
He started hitting people in the head with his book, probably assessing their brain density based on whether or not they're, you know, how much of a thud he got when he was doing it. Anyway, things have not gone well. Apparently, his misconduct was immediately reported to a supervisor, then HR, and then he's now been permanently banned from the building and will no longer be appearing on Fox News. His picture sitting with the desk guards there on Fifth Avenue.
In case they don't know who Gene Simmons is, Gene Simmons is in that building all the time. They know who he is.
The Avenue of the Americas now has a picture of a guy with face makeup on and a tongue sticking out.
And then the I just like the part where he tells everyone that he's attractive. I thought, because if I were sitting in that meeting, I would have been like, oh yeah, right there. No, sorry. If you ever were, that ship has sailed. But I find him to be funny. I find him to be smart. This just doesn't sound like Gene Simmons at all.
Oh, he just, I think this is, again, this is a fit of rock stardom. Like he at some, you can only contain him for so long. I'm thinking probably if you're Fox, you're like, thank goodness we mostly contained him on the air. It was when he got off the air that he went wild. He's like taking his book and hitting people in the head with it. All right, Gene. Like, you know, we're not breaking cigars over speakers anymore.
Yeah. No, a friend of mine was getting on the elevator there, the doors open, and there's Gene Simmons standing in the elevator. And she said he just grabbed, and she's beautiful. She's absolutely gorgeous. He just grabbed her, pulled her into the elevator, and just started dancing with her. The doors closed, and they just went, she goes, the doors closed. We went to my floor. I got off. He twirled me out of the elevator, and the doors closed, and he was gone again.
Yeah. And it's dangerous. I mean, when you start, like, when you run into a meeting uninvited and start cracking Michael Jackson pedophilia jokes, probably more so than bopping people on the head with a book. That's the thing. You're like, okay, thanks. Thank you for your service.
He's got to learn that he had built a lot of goodwill, I think, at Fox. And I think, as I said, I think he's very smart, and he's conservative, so they love him. But I think he needs to learn that when the makeup's not on, you can't do things like that. You're not in character. You know, you're Gene Simmons right now. You're not in character. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's that. You said it was, you know, rock star, a fit of rock starness. You're not in character.
Yeah.
You're being your who you are.
Gene Simmons getting the goodbye kiss.
You're listening to the best of Mornings on the Mall.
Nowhere else I'd rather stay. Rocking and a rolling, rocking and a rolling, rocking in the USA.
Now, more of the best of Mornings on the Mall.
So we've heard about being transgendered, right? Well, there's, which now widely accepted, we had Caitlyn Jenner named Woman of the Year by, I believe it's Vogue magazine. Well, now there's something new, because I'm trans financial. I'm actually a rich person inside, and so I should be able to spend whatever money I want, because I'm actually a rich person. And if you don't let me spend whatever money I want, then you're hindering who I truly am as a person. Well, there's something new right now. Remember Rachel Dozel? Well, she was just the first.
My mom works with a lot of people who
works with a lot of people who are migrating to the United States. You know, from all over the world. Like, the staff is almost entirely made up of, you know, people who immigrate here. And, you know, one of her best friends from work is named Yadu. And, you know, she's so nice, she's cute, and she's really, really fun. And it just had a ring to it, and I love that name. So that's what I want to be. Like, I want to be that happy person.
So that person that you heard speaking there is not Yadu. That is Adam. Okay, so Adam wants to be happy like Yadu.
Uh-huh.
So not only is Yadu a woman, Yadu's Filipino. So Adam, who wants to be called Yadu, who is white, now considers himself a Filipino. And thanks to Rachel Dozel, transracial is now a thing. The look on Mike McKay's face.
Wait, he wants to be both a woman
and Filipino. And so Filipino. Yeah, he has already come out to his family, although I think now this is going to be he's come out to his family as transgender, and he wants to become a woman. He wants to start that process. Now, how his family is not caught on to this, because he goes by Yadu, and he drives around in a purple tuk-tuk, which is an Asian vehicle that is used for transportation in the Philippines. And it's purple. And Adam's going to tell you why he wants to be Filipino.
Whenever, you know, I'm around the music, I'm around the food, I feel like I'm in my own skin. I'd watch the History Channel sometimes for hours, you know, whenever it came to that. And, you know, nothing else intrigued me more but, you know, things about, you know, Filipino culture. I think if you're unhappy with who you are and you change yourself for the better and that makes you happy, you know, go for it. But I would never say it was a privilege to, you know, be unhappy with yourself all the time.
Now, I'm not a psychologist, although I'm going to play one on the radio
channel
right now.
I identify as General Patton.
But this man, he's unhappy. He even said he's unhappy several times. He wants to be like this woman because she's happy. Getting surgery to become a woman and then pretending that you're Filipino isn't going to make you happy like Jadu or whatever her name is. But he's right. This guy's got problems. He needs some kind of counseling to find out why he is unhappy in his own skin and his own body.
Yeah, this guy is transracial,
yeah,
transparently stupid. I mean, this is retarded.
I don't think he's stupid. I just think he's unhappy. I think he's unhappy, and so he looks at someone who he thinks is so happy and has this great life. Look, is it any different than young girls wanting to become one of the Kardashians because they have this, and so they emulate them because they have this wonderful life. So if I emulate them, I'm going to have a wonderful life,
my
too.
Daughter,
that's what's going on
My
here.
Daughter wants to dress up as a Disney princess for Halloween. It doesn't mean she thinks she's a Disney princess.
No, I understand, but that's why.
She's not Belle all of a sudden.
Don't tell her that.
Yeah. But, like, watch out for Gaston.
But this is the thing. This is when you become an adult and you sit there and talk about how unhappy you are. But this person over here is super happy. So I'm literally going to become that person. Then that needs counseling.
I want to mention this real quickly. Pew just did a poll on whether or not gender is set at birth or not, and got answers and forth.
Yeah, yeah.
80% of Republicans say gender is determined at birth. 64% of Democrats say it's that your gender can be different from the sex of birth. Boy, there's the divide, huh?
I'm going to go even further and say your gender is determined at conception, not birth.
You're listening to the best of Mornings on the Mall, 5 to 9, Monday through Friday, only on 105.9 FM, WMAL. You're listening to the best of Mornings on the Mall.
You know, as if L.A. didn't have enough problems, UCLA had some problems this week. Three of their athletes were detained in China after they were caught shoplifting from a Louis Vuitton store. The story's become one that's pretty well known now. It's an international crisis. LiAngelo Ball, Jalen Hill, and Cody Riley. They were in China to play a game. They decided to steal some sunglasses from a Louis Vuitton store, get busted, detained by the Chinese government. And it just so happens the president of the United States was in Asia in that time frame. He raised the issue with President Xi, and sure enough, the president was able to secure their release. We got a tweet from the president of the United States yesterday. He didn't even wait for the players to fail to thank him before he requested their thank yous. He got on Twitter yesterday morning at 10 o'clock writing, "Do you think the three UCLA basketball players will say thank you, President Trump? They were headed for 10 years in jail." So now that was the president yesterday morning. Well, sure enough, the players made their way back to the United States after their release, sat down for a press conference, read from prepared remarks. And this is what that sounds like when you're a college student who got busted for shoplifting in China and released by the president of the United States.
I would like to thank everyone involved in this whole ordeal. Thank you to Chris, Doug, Gloria, and Jerry for staying with us the whole time. Thank you to the police department, which treated us very well. Thank you to the Pac-12 and the whole UCLA community that helped us the whole way. And thank you to the United States government and President Trump for your efforts to bring us home.
There it is. Thank you, President Trump. Very grateful. I saw USA Today pointed out, like, you know, the president was stuck spending time pleading for the release of three student-athletes instead of being able to talk about, you know, I don't know, North Korea or all many of the other things on his agenda, thanks to their behavior over there. That was Jay Hill you just heard from. Here's Cody Riley thanking the president.
To President Trump and the United States government, thank you for taking the time to intervene on our behalf. We really appreciate you helping us out.
LiAngelo Ball also had this to say.
I'd also like to thank President Trump and the United States government for the help that they provided as well. I'm grateful to be back home, and I'll never make a mistake like this again.
Boy, I would be too.
Yeah. So, do you think they wrote those statements?
I mean, it's a long flight back from China.
Because it's just amazing they all think the same people. I just, you know, I'm pretty sure those
pretty
statements
sure.
were put in front of them, and they somebody were told, read this.
At least somebody was leaning on them. They were given copy points. Let's go to the reaction to this, though. So was it charitable to the president's delivering of our three Americans home? Let's find out. Over to CNN.
The Band-Aid off right. conversation is you have these three black men and you have this you know, white president, and part of it has
Uh-oh.
Been the undertone of based upon previous
I was
tweets.
Trying to scream. I was trying to walk
you're
into
gonna go
it.
There. Let's
you
just...
can run in. I was trying to step in.
And where I'm going with it is yeah. you have this, you know, president essentially saying to these three black men, essentially like, where's my apology?
You better thank me because I got you home. And isn't it amazing to see three black athletes thanking the president? I don't think that's going to make someone like Colin Kaepernick second guess his
yes.
thoughts on police brutality or any
yeah.
of the other athletes who have serious issues with race in this country or police brutality. I don't think it's going to change their minds.
Yeah.
But Trump got a very small ego boost today.
I just heard two white ladies say the word black like 100 times in a story that involves simply getting Americans back into the United States. If Trump is proud of anything, it's returning Americans to the United States. What does their skin color have to do with this?
And am I the only one who heard police brutality thrown in there? What? It was almost like a word jumble game where they had to use all of the words in their conversation or else they lose. So they were just throwing in random words. Colin Kaepernick and police brutality. What? It's ridiculous.
Brooke Baldwin and SC Cup, by the way. And I like SC. I think she was drawn into it by Brooke. I'm going to blame Brooke here. Brian Stelter and Brooke Baldwin had more to say on this subject.
By the way, I think they probably would have said thank you if the president hadn't tweeted about it. I think they probably would have said thank you regardless.
What's this? Is this about credit with the president? I mean, I read Chris Liz's piece about, you know, what does this tweet mean from the president? He makes this whole point about, is this about me and about I being the president need credit for this?
It feels like a little bit of resentment politics playing into the notion that he is owed gratitude.
Brian Stelter. I like how Brian Stelter is the guy to which we turn to render judgment on everything on CNN.
Do we?
Yeah, he's infallible. He's like CNN's Pope. What does Brian Stelter think about this? Well, I think the president is a selfish jerk. Okay, we'll go with that.
This is the best of Mornings on the Mall.
Vince, you've got some news.
Yeah, of course I do. Always have news from the President of the United States, rushing it to you as it's coming out, hot off the Twitter presses. You think they're going to let him keep his verification? They might punish him.
I'm pretty sure he can keep it.
Twitter yanking people's verification with which they disagree these days. The president tweeting just a few minutes ago, having listened to our illustrious segment here on Mornings on the Mall, probably, to the three UCLA players, I say, you're welcome. Now go out and give a big thank you to President Xi Jinping of China, who made your release possible, and have a great life. Be careful. There are many pitfalls on the long and winding road of life.
That's a great tweet. And he's right. They should thank the president of China. They really should.
Dispensing some wisdom.
Yeah.
And also saying, and by the way, sharing the credit here with China.
By the way, I think they probably would have said thank you if the president hadn't tweeted about it. Then they probably would have said thank you regardless.
What's this? Is this about credit with the president? I mean, I read Chris Liz's piece about, you know, what does this tweet mean from the president? He makes this whole point about, is this about me and about credit for this?
It feels like a little bit of resentment politics playing into the notion that he is owed gratitude.
No. In fact, he's sharing it with China. Communist China. President Xi Jinping getting some credit today. So anyway.
I can't wait to hear how they criticize that. That'll be the next criticism. Can you believe
the president colluding with China? colluding with China to affect the lives of black Americans. Yeah, well, yeah, he got them released, CNN.
You've been listening to the best of Mornings on the Mall. Listen Monday through Friday, 5 to 9 a.m. to hear the show live on 105.9 FM, WMAL.